Hey there, King of Kings family. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Beyond Sunday Sermons. I'm Dan Hoppen, the Director of Connect Groups here at King of Kings. And joining me, as always, is Caleb Hack, our Director of Kids Ministry. This podcast is our opportunity to take a look back at the previous Sunday's message and talk about our takeaways and what really stood out to us. This week, we continue to work our way through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and our lead pastor, Greg Griffith, took us through a very small section, but one that just is packed with information. So it's 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 to 12. And you say, well, that's four verses. How much could really be in there? You're about to find out. There's a lot to discuss. So, Caleb, first of all, how are you doing today, man?
It's good. It's a good day. It's a little chillier out now after the nice weather over the weekend, but we're surviving it.
We are surviving it, yeah. Dog might not be getting a walk tonight, but we'll see. He'll be fine if he doesn't. So what in this message is going to last beyond Sunday for you?
Well, like you said, there is a lot in these four verses, and you know, the thing that is going to stick out with me is, you know, what you enjoy about your job and what God has called you to do in your work and in your life. We're going to talk about vocation, and I think there's a lot to be said on that topic.
So what in these verses makes you think about your vocation and your job?
Yeah. So, I mean, to look at the verses, right there, verse 9, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other, and in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. And then in 11, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. That's the place where it talks about work with your hands. And I love Greg talked about this, what it means to be working with your hands, but he kind of started with, what's your favorite job? And I would love to hear what your favorite job has been, Dan, if you wouldn't mind answering that question.
Outside of current role, because obviously
sure.
We both love working at King Kings.
Absolutely.
So my first job out of college, I was a sports writer. And I worked for a online publication called HuskerOnline.com. And so I covered Nebraska football, basketball, and baseball. And I would get to travel all over the country, all over the Big Ten, following these teams, interviewing the players and coaches, writing about them, interacting with fans on social media and message boards. And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun for about 5 years. And then as Nebraska started not being so great at football, I felt like I was writing the same story over and over again and had a career change. But I still look back on that time and I'm just like, man, that was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd say I was really working with my hands. So maybe I wasn't following my biblical calling so much. But what's your favorite job then? Present job excluded.
Man. Yeah, present job excluded. My favorite job was my a college summer job. For two summers, I was a camp counselor at Camp Omega in Minnesota. That's where I really learned just how to serve others and be passionate in ministry. And that's where I fell in love with children's ministry, was working at a summer camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what speaks to you in these verses? Like when you read these, what really is your main takeaway?
Yeah, my main takeaway is about vocation and the calling that we have to in our lives in several different ways, but especially as it pertains to work, because sometimes it's so easy to not feel called to work, but it's true that we are. And so I did a lot of background study on vocation for this after the message, because I was really interested in it. And it's a whole doctrine in Lutheran theology. And it's not something that we talk about that often, what it means to be called. So the Latin word for vocation, vocatio.
Wow, look at you.
I looked it up. Yeah, it literally means to call, or the calling, you know, what we're called to do. And, you know, it's easy to not feel called to your work. Or sometimes if you're like, hey, work is awesome, like God did put me here for a reason. Maybe you do feel it. But vocation is really interesting because it's not just about the work that we're doing, but what God has given us to do. And there's actually kind of four different callings in Lutheran theology that Luther talks about. That would be, you know, your calling to church or to your faith, religion, I guess, or calling to your family is the second one, calling to your work, and then calling to, well, kind of your country or your citizenship, wherever that may be. So those four different callings are really interesting, but specifically this message talked a lot about your calling to your work, your vocation of work.
I'm interested in your interpretation because you mentioned it. The Bible specifically says, mind your business and work with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
In when this letter was written, a lot more jobs were physically intensive. It was a lot more building or farming or creating things. Now, a lot of jobs are done on computers or phones with technology. I mean, I don't want to speak for you. There are certainly things in your job that you do with your hands, but your job is mostly meetings and emails and, you know, typing and reading and things like it's not necessarily what one would think of as working with their hands. So how do you kind of, I mean, clearly you're doing what God is calling you to do. How do you take this verse and kind of modernize it so you feel like you're getting that you're checking that work with your hands box?
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of start with Pastor Greg used a quote from Martin Luther in his sermon that I think can still apply today and then to modernize it a little bit. The quote is, "The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes because God is interested in good craftsmanship." So that's maybe a shoemaker works with their hands, but if we can focus on the good craftsmanship about doing your duty, about doing the best you can at whatever it is that you're doing, that's how we can kind of modernize this a little bit to say, all right, I'm going to send the best email I have ever sent. You know, it's going to outline everything perfectly. It's going to have, you know, polite language. People are going to want to read it and respond to it because it's such a good email. So that's the simple way to say it. But in anything we do, it's about putting our best foot forward, about doing the best job we can.
And that sounds kind of funny when you say that, but I really think that is what God's calling us to do. And in that way, when people see us, whether it's a very important task or a very menial one, when they see us putting everything into it and really thinking about what we're doing, not slacking off, not being on our phones at work, but being intentional about helping other people, that's how we can make an influence. And people see that and they go, huh.
Yeah.
That guy's doing something a little bit different. I wonder what's different about his life than mine. Why is he so inspired to send a great email?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a way of witness.
You know, I kind of think about it too. Like, I've not always been the best employee, I guess. You know, I try to be, you know, that's my God-given calling. And I think about that at times. But in my own life, you know, it's easy to look at too. I've been around some very bad coworkers or I've had some very bad bosses. And what does that experience feel like to me to have somebody that I just don't get along with because they make work life difficult? I don't want to be that person for other people, you know? So if I am being that person, that's not a very good example of showing Christ's love, you know, in my workplace. I worked for a pizza place in college and the owner of the restaurant, he would drink on the job.
Oh yeah.
With his own, you know, stock, you know, and you know, he's it's a franchise, so he buys it all with his own money. He thought he could do whatever he wanted, and it made for a very bad work environment. And so if you're in that situation, it can be really difficult because you don't maybe want to be the best employee to a boss who's not the best, but you still get to be that example, that shining example of Jesus to the lives of others.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to blow your mind with this a little bit. My main takeaway, what's going to last for me beyond Sunday in this message, has nothing to do with work.
Wow.
It's something that I brought up during our Connect group and something that I've been wrestling with and honestly kind of struggling with ever since we started this series on 1 Thessalonians, I read through this, and my struggle comes in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Paul says, "And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you." I don't have no qualms with the second half of that sentence.
Mind your own business.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good with that. My struggle is with that word quiet. Hmm. And what does quiet mean in this context? Does it mean just keep to yourself? Like when you're done with work, just go home and, you know, live a quiet, like hermetic life. Like I'm thinking about our time during COVID. Everybody lived quiet lives because we didn't have any choice not to. We had to stay home. And I started thinking about some other biblical examples. So my mind went to Matthew 5 when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." That doesn't sound quiet to me. And who are Jesus's most three well-known disciples?
The loudest ones.
You've got Peter, who's always speaking first and sticking his foot in his mouth. And then James and John, who Jesus nicknamed the sons of thunder. Those aren't the quiet ones.
Yeah.
And when I was trying to think of who are people that I look up to in my life, quiet is not like one of the first adjectives I would use to describe them. I think of them as inspiring, outgoing leaders who are constantly pushing to not only improve themselves, but the world around them. So I really had to wrestle with this term quiet and what quiet meant. And I think I've come to a resolution with myself where I feel really good about this, but I want to get your opinion on it, Caleb. When you read that phrase about living a quiet life, what do you think that looks like?
As an introvert, I love hearing
you're
that.
Like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, no. I think it can be a real struggle for some people and me at times too, because everybody loves to voice their opinion. I think that's what I think of when I think of being quiet. It's not having to get the final say in something or be the one to provide the spark for an engaging ministry or conversation or whatever it is you're doing. I think being quiet is being able to listen and being able to respect others and being able to live in such a way that even if you're not actively proclaiming the gospel out loud, people still see the gospel in you. I think that's what I think of.
That was beautifully said. And that was the conclusion that I think I found myself coming to, is that quiet is not bombastic. It's not showy. It's not argumentative, but it's quick to listen, quick to think, slow to speak, and slow to act. Like someone who takes time to be quiet and spend time with God and then allow that to reflect in their life, I think is ultimately what we come down to here. And there's someone on staff here at King & Kings who I think embodies this so well, and that's our executive director, Julie Easley. Like, she is not, like, no one would describe Julie as like loud or brash or showy or like all the out there. But every time I talk with Julie, she inspires me, whether it's her faith, because she knows the Bible very well and has very interesting insights on it, or just the way that she treats people, the way she interacts with people, the way she is very intentional about being one-on-one with people. Like, there's not a situation where you're with Julie and she's glancing at her phone or her watch, or you can tell she's, you know, in a conversation, but her mind is really elsewhere. She is very intentional. And that's kind of what I think about is, yes, she's not a loud, outgoing personality per se, but the way she lives her life and the way she treats people is so inspirational. And it's something that I know is rubbed off on me and has caused me to think about my relationships in the workplace differently.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would agree with you on Julie for sure. And I think everybody can probably think of somebody in their life who's like that, that they love to have a conversation with. Who's somebody that you know will always listen, that will provide feedback only when you ask for it. That's a huge deal, because a lot of people just want to give you their opinion. But somebody who actually takes the time to listen and hear you out, I think that's it goes a long way towards living that kind of quiet life, as it says in verse 11.
Mm-hmm. And I think going into verse 12, there's kind of another part of the answer. It says, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. And I think a lot of times we think of leaders as people like giving a rousing speech or being that person who can always win the argument. But like it says here, sometimes it's just that daily life. It's how you handle your business. It's how you treat others. It's how you, like you mentioned, do your job and work with your hands. Ultimately, you know, it's ironic that in your quietness, you can actually be very loud, because this is a loud world and everybody wants to have their opinion heard and they want to get the last word in. So when you're quiet and you just do what you're supposed to do and you do it well, other people notice that, and it actually speaks volumes and it turns up the volume on what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A passage I looked up that kind of talks about this and vocation a little bit is 1 Corinthians 7 verse 17. It says, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. So that's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and we see the same thing repeated in other letters, and here in Thessalonians, he says, I lay this rule down in all the churches. It just says, live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. And God has assigned you a many different vocations. It's not just your work, it's not just your job, but it's also your family. And like I mentioned before, your church community, the groups you're involved in, whether it's athletic sports, your children's sports events and things that you go to. What would it look like if everybody in a little league baseball team, where things can get really heated between parents, were actually living as believers, right? You know, the coach, you know, yelling at the coach or yelling at the kids to do better. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a little league game before, but
it can get, they're incredibly intense.
It can get intense. So living as a believer in every situation, every vocation that you have, every calling, that's what vocation means, every calling that you have, to live quietly, to not be brash, to not be putting something out there that doesn't represent Christ well, that's super important.
So our second question that we ask ourselves every week, how do I apply this message to my life? What application are you going to take away from the message on Sunday?
Yeah, so that's where I was going to get more into the living the quiet life part. Living a quiet life for me, you know, focusing on my walk with Jesus, and doing it in such a way that no matter what I'm doing, that's at the forefront of my mind, not about making myself look better or making my opinions be heard, but focusing on what it means to just show Jesus to others through whatever I'm doing.
I like that. So my application here, part of the reason I think this message was so challenging for me, and not just the message itself, but that adjective quiet, is because I don't think people would describe my life as quiet. Like, I'm a pretty outgoing person. And as we've talked about a little bit on this podcast, I don't know how much people know about me, but I'm an Omaha restaurant influencer. Like, I post a lot on social media. I'm very online talking about, you know, what restaurants I like, trying to find good places that people should go to. Like, I have a podcast where I literally in front of a camera or during live podcasts, I'm up on a stage in front of people asking people questions. Like, this was my challenge. Is I'm like, these areas of my life that I love and I feel like I have influence in are not quiet. They're out in front of people. But I think as I digested this and started to think about, well, what does my life look like to be quiet? I think it's figuring out, like, what it looks like, how I treat people when the camera turns off, or when I meet someone that I interact with on social media a lot, how am I treating them one-on-one? And the example that I want to bring up here and I don't want to badmouth this person because I absolutely love this person. They've been an inspiration to me, but Guy Fieri from the Food Network. He was in town last spring to film some episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Now, he, from what I've been told by other chefs, like he visited a bunch of Omaha restaurants and toured their kitchens, and then they filmed the show. And from what I've been told, he was awesome off the camera, and he helped the chefs, and he gave them tips, and he was like, hey, your business is about to explode. Here are some things to think about. He was great. When I got a chance to interact with him, I mean, anyone who's watched Food Network and seen Guy knows he's very bombastic. He's very outgoing and friendly and loud. And that was my experience with him too on the camera. But when the camera turned off, it was like, bing, right to the car. Time to go. Like, not messing around. I think he even had, you know, just a couple words like, hey, let's get going. Let's get out of here. And you know, he's a very busy guy. I'm not, you know, and not everybody has their best day all the time. But I think that just kind of stood out to me. Like, he has so much influence in that everything he does, whether he's on TV or not, he is making an impact on people. And if when he slows down and he talks to those restaurant owners, that's a way of being an influence. I have no idea if Guy's a Christian or not, but if he is, that could show restaurant owners, hey, this is what Christians look like. Yeah. They care about me even after the camera turns off. And on the flip side, you know, kind of like your example of the restaurant owner who's drinking on the job, like when you see that negative example of it, it can have just as big of an impact.
Well, yeah, that's the importance of vocation too, is that every level of vocation, which there's not even really levels, it's just all a calling from God. Whether you're the president of the United States, whether you're a famous Food Network reality star, or whether you're somebody who, you know, works as a gardener or retail, is a homemaker, or whatever it might be, or any of those vocations God has called you to, and they're all important, they're all necessary, and they all can contribute to being an influence in our culture and representing Jesus to the world.
One last thing before we get out of here. This is something that Greg made note of on Sunday, and you made note of it too, and I just want to hammer this home. I think we hear the term vocation and we immediately tie that to job. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean like a professional job. So everything we've said, it applies to retired people. It applies to people who've been laid off or maybe in between jobs. It applies to parents who are staying at home with their kids. Like, you have influence in every area of your life. Absolutely. And we're called to work with our hands in every area of our life, not just in the workplace. So I don't want anyone to listen to this and feel alienated or like they're, you know, their work watching their kids doesn't matter or anything. That's absolutely not the truth. That, like, every single person, whether you have a job, whether you love your job, hate your job, whatever it is extremely valuable. I just wanted to make sure we
you're important. Hammer that God home. Is important. God's working through you no matter what you're doing. Absolutely.
Amen, Caleb. All right. We'll get out of here on that note. Love you, King of Kings family. Let's keep living our faith lives beyond Sunday.